out of directing the lives of these young kids that I come in contact with. I don't want them to realize that there is nothing out there that's worth having. Amen. So I get joy out of the things that I do.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
KAYT, Lake Charles, 100.1.
We're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
Amen. The blood still works. Amen. Thank God for the choir. Thank God for each of you. God is still good. And his mercy endures forever. To Elmer Coleman and to Sister Armstead and Smith, deacons, deaconess, officers and members. Thank God for another day. We've come together to celebrate one of the ordinances of the one required ceremonies of the church, and that is the Lord's Supper. Amen. Yes, and so this morning I would that you would turn with me, excuse me, back into the Old Testament in the book of Nehemiah.
Yes, sir.
Nehemiah. And that's coming on up to Chronicles and come on up to Second Samuel, First Samuel, First Second Chronicles. Keep on walking until you run into it. Amen. Quickest way to look at the table of contents. Amen. Some of these books we don't deal with that often. But if you find, say amen. Anybody need a little more time, say hold on. All right. In the 8th chapter of the book of Nehemiah, we'll be coming from verse 8 through 12, but we'll read the first 6 verses. And it reads, "Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square and was in front of the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. And so Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear and with understanding on the first day of the 7th month. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday before the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of the people were attentive to the book of the law." Verse 5 and 6 said, "And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, Amen, amen,
yes, sir,
while lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." You may be seated. Yeah, this morning, for a few minutes, we want to just talk from the subject, when the church gathers for worship. When the church gathers for worship. And let me begin by saying that we read in Hebrews 10:25, it tells us not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some or to put in a little different way, it says some people have gotten out the habit of meeting for worship, but we should keep on encouraging each other, especially since we know that that day of the Lord is getting closer. Now this morning, as we've gathered to not only worship, but also to observe one of the ordinances of the church, the Lord's Supper, an ordinance that Jesus tells us to do in remembrance of him until he returns. And guess what? His return is closer now than it was 2,000 years ago. But having said that, sad to say that there are many folk attending church on a regular basis who don't really know the reason and purpose of the church gathering for worship. And so this morning, thank you, ushers, as we talk from that subject, when the church gathers for worship, we hope to reveal what is the purpose of the church gathering for worship. What are we supposed to do when we come together for worship? Because I believe the reason why so many folk attend church on a regular basis and they leave the same way they came is because many folk aren't aware of the reasons why the church gathers for worship. And that's why some come as backsliders and leave the same way. Some come with grudges in their hearts and leave the same way, despite the fact that they've sung in the choir, prayed on devotion, or participated in some other way, but still they leave the same way they came. And even more, others come lost and leave in that same condition. Why is this? Because having ears that work does not guarantee that we really hear. In other words, God has made us with two ears that we cannot close, but still many folk don't hear what is being said or what is being preached, even though they may hear the sound of the word. Well, why is this? Because their minds is somewhere else. And that's why Jesus says in Mark chapter 4, verse 9 and 23, he who has ears, let them hear. Because the Bible says to us that faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. And that's why Jesus says also in Luke 8 and 18, in plain and simple terms, he says, pay attention to how you hear. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what they think they understand will be taken away from them. Because applying God's word to our lives will help us to grow spiritually. But now, to do this, we must first hear and understand the word. Now, when we look at and consider our text, we'll note that the people in our text understood the reason for them gathering for worship. And so in the text, in verse 1, it starts off, it's talking about on the first day of the seventh month that the people came together in an open square in front of the water gate. And they asked Ezra, who was the teacher of the law of Moses, to read to them the law that the Lord had given his people. But today, God have charged the church with a fivefold ministry, that of worship, fellowship, discipleship, evangelism, and ministry or service. But this morning, with your prayers, I want to deal with the primary purpose of the church gathering together, and that is to worship. But before we move on, let's define the word worship. Now, the Bible dictionary defines worship as an outward act of showing great reverence, honor, and respect, especially to the Lord. But we note the psalmist declares in Psalm 95 and 6, he says, let us bow down and worship the Lord our Creator. And so worship is first and foremost an encounter with a living and holy God. For instance, when Moses approached the burning bush, God told him to take his shoes off because the ground you're standing on is holy ground. And so in taking off his shoes, this was an act of reverence, an act of worship on the part of Moses and showing his unworthiness before a holy God. And so since worship is defined as an encounter with the living God, we must approach him in a spirit of humility. And that's why the Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, I will heal their land. Now, the key phrase here in 2 Chronicles 7:14 is humility and prayer. Bottom line, approaching the Lord with the wrong attitude is showing a lack of respect. And so the question is, when the church gathers for worship, do you approach the Lord casually, or do you come as though you're the invited guest of the king or an invited guest of royalty? Because if not, you're approaching the Lord God with the wrong attitude. And so because Moses humbled himself before the Lord, guess what? He approached as a fugitive and a murderer, but he left as a great emancipator and a mouthpiece for the Almighty God. And in the same way, when you come to worship for the right reason and a spirit of humility before the Lord, it doesn't matter who you are, what you did, or where you came from, I guarantee you that you won't leave the same way you came. Because he won't leave you like he found you. But still, many folk come to worship for everything but worship, meaning they are somewhat like that secular song by the OJs that say, your body here with me, but your mind is on the other side of town. While still others come to the Lord's house because they are on program, and the spotlight will be on them for a while. And not to mention the person or persons who get up out of their bed and perhaps take a shower or a bath, put on the best suit or their dress, and drive all the way to church just to go to sleep when the preacher stands to preach. And then you wonder why. Yes, Lord. They never get anything out of the worship experience, so they leave unfulfilled. But my brothers and sisters, when the church gathers for worship, we need to understand that it's not about you and it's not about me. Are you with me? It's about him. Because you need to understand that worship is God's party. And yet many folk seem to always get this backwards because they come to worship service acting as if it's their party. But my brothers and sisters, worship is God's party and not ours. Why is this? Because he's the one who we came to worship to meet. He's the one who made us for his good pleasure. And so since worship is God's party and not ours, then it stands to reason that we should bring something of meaning to the party as a gift to the honoree. But my brothers and sisters, the only gift the Lord God asked for and the only gift that you and I can give to him is praise. Because praise is what brings us in the presence of God so that we can worship him. In other words, in worship, we seek completion through communion with him. In worship, we seek to come into his presence for knowledge that unlocks the mysteries of life. Because my brothers and sisters, worship is a search for God's love, which is the only thing that can satisfy our loneliness. And so in worship, we seek mutual fellowship with other worshipers. In worship, we seek forgiveness as the souls are laid bare before a holy God. In worship, we seek to worship God and find courage to be our true selves. Because the search for meaning is perhaps our deepest need. And therefore, in the depths of our soul, we realize that we have been created for a purpose. And that's why the search for meaning finds its deepest significance in worship. And so when we recognize that worship is God's party and not ours, we'll come before his presence with a heart of humility and thanksgiving. But now, for those who just come just to work or to serve, you need to understand that worshiping God is just as important or even more important than just working. Yet we find a whole lot of folk don't mind serving and working in the church, but they have a problem when it comes to worship. But you need to understand that when we worship, we show the Lord that we love him and honor him. For instance, in the book of Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, 38 through 42, Mary and Martha welcomed Jesus into their home. Now, they both loved Jesus, but Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet, listening to what he taught. But now, Martha was distracted by a big dinner she was preparing. And so she came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come help me out. But Jesus says to Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. but the one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will never be taken away from her. In other words, Martha thought that Mary's style of worship or serving was inferior to hers, but she didn't realize that in her desire to serve, she was actually neglecting her guests. And so let me ask you this morning, are you so busy doing things for Jesus that you are not spending any time with Jesus? In other words, don't let your service become self-service. But now, Jesus didn't blame Martha for being concerned about household chores. He was only asking her to set her priorities straight. Because service to Christ can degenerate into mere busy work that is totally devoid of devotion to God. But now, the proof of God's love for us was proven out on a cross of Calvary. When God gave his only begotten son, Jesus, to die that we might live. And so before we start serving, we need to start worshiping, because serving without worship may bring gratification for a while, but serving without worship will eventually cause a burnout. And that's why we all need to understand that God desires our worship, where we give ourselves to the Lord more than he desires just our service, our work. But lest I hold you too long, before anybody try to take a nap, I hope to show from a biblical perspective what is supposed to happen when the church gathers for worship. And let me say to us this morning that this is critical, because, again, I say, the reason a lot of folk have been in church for some time but are not growing spiritually is because they don't really understand the purpose for which the church gathers for worship. And so as we consider the text here in the book of Nehemiah, I realize that this is an Old Testament story, but still it's about God's people, God's word, and worship. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. For the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, in plain and simple terms, it says these things happened to them as a warning to us. All this was written in Scripture to teach us who live in these last days. And so the text says in verse 1 that all the people gathered together as one man, a unity of mind, in the open square in front of the water gate. And they told Reverend Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord commanded Israel to obey. But notice the first thing they did was when they came together to worship, they came together in unity of mind and purpose, and that was to hear the word of God. And so the text reveals that the Reverend Ezra read from the book of the law from early that morning until noon. And guess what? Nobody was concerned about the time or how long the service was going to last. Why? Because they gathered with one mind and one purpose, and that was to worship the Lord. And then we know in verse 3 goes on to say, and the people were attentive to the books of the law of the sermon. And my brothers and sisters, one of the main reasons why so many folk don't ever get anything out of the service when the church gives the worship is because their minds are too caught up on other things. Meaning a whole lot of folk be distracted because they're watching the time, hoping the preacher will hurry up and come on and get this over with. Lord, look like real moms, they're going to preach all day. I'm going to miss the first half of the game. Lord, I got to finish my Sunday dinner. I'm going to miss the special sale at the mall. I got plans for the rest of the day. I was planning on going fishing right after church and the lot. And my brothers and sisters, again, I say that's why many folk come to the church and miss the whole worship experience, because their minds are too preoccupied with other things rather than God and his word. But note, if you will, that, yes, Lord, in the text, the people of God had gathered with unity of mind and purpose, and that was to hear the word of God. And so no matter how long it took Reverend Ezra to come to the close, they listened attentively and they listened carefully. And note verse 5 said that Ezra was standing on a platform made of wood, a pulpit, if you will, made of wood. And this verse 5 goes on to say that when Ezra opened the book of the law in the sight of the people, guess what happened? They all stood up. But did they stand in honor and respect of Reverend Ezra? No. Was it because Reverend Ezra told them to stand? No. But they stood automatically in honor and reverence to God and his word. Remember now that the word worship is an act of showing great reverence, honor, and respect, and in this context, to God. But today, folk refuse to stand when reading the word of God, even when the preacher asks them to, because many will say, well, where is it in the Bible that people got to stand up and honor the word of God? Well, it's right here in the text. In verse 5, it said, Ezra, yes, Lord, was on a platform of wood where the people could see him, and when he opened the book, they just stood automatically. Didn't nobody have to ask them to stand. They just stood up automatically in reverence to God. Then in verse 6, we read that Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and note if you will, while Reverend Ezra was preaching, the text said all the people replied, amen, amen. Oh, but sad to say, many times the preacher has to spend a whole lot of time begging folk to say amen, even when they know what he's preaching is the truth of God's word. Because some are just hard-hearted, while others perhaps don't even know what amen means. And my brothers and sisters, all amen means is that what is being said is true. And so in the text, not only did the folk witness to the word of God, the text says, they did so while lifting up their hands and their faces bowed to the ground. Why? Because they recognized the holiness of God and their own sinfulness. And so the text says they witnessed to the word of God by lifting up their hands in an outward expression of praise. And with great reverence for God, they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And then verse 9 revealed that the people got so caught up in the worship, they start crying when they heard the word of God, meaning they became convicted by the word because they had gathered with unity of mind and purpose. They had gathered to hear the word of the Lord and to listen attentively, causing them to understand what they heard. Because of this, when they left the worship service, guess what? They didn't leave the same way they came. And that's why verse 12 shows that after worship, after church, the people returned to their homes and celebrated by eating and drinking and sharing their food with those in need. But note, if you will, that in worship service, they lifted their hands with their faces to the ground. But after worship, they used their hands to reach out in compassion to others in need. Because the text says they celebrated by eating and drinking and sharing their food with those in need. All because when the church gathered for worship, they gathered for the right reason and for the right purpose. And so they didn't leave the same way they came. And so as I try to move to the close, I'm reminded of Jesus as he hung on the cross out on Calvary's hill. With lifted hands, he died for the sins of the world. With bleeding hands, he hung on the cross and said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. And when the job of atonement was done, after hanging on that cross for the sixth to the ninth hour, he said, it's finished. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And then he died that we might live. But I thank God this morning that the nail prints pierced hands on the cross in the last picture of the hands of Jesus that we see. Because bright early Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. Then on the second post-resurrection appearance to his disciples, he transformed a doubter into a believer. When he told Thomas, who doubted the resurrection, he said, put your finger in the hole in my hand. And he said, take your hand and put your hand in the hole in my side. And Thomas cried out, my Lord and my God. And so true worship involves giving, and first and foremost, to give ourselves to the Lord. But to do this, our hearts must be right. Because if the hearts are not right, when the church gather for worship, then worship will be meaningless. Because true worship involves giving ourselves as well as our substance and our service to God for the blessings of his grace. Notice I say the blessings of his grace, because we don't deserve anything but eternal damnation. And so when the church gathers to worship, you ought to thank God for his mercy and his grace, because we are saved by grace through faith. It was grace that woke me up this morning, and grace that started me on my way. Ain't God all right? That's why true worship is bringing our best to the Lord and not our leftovers. Because the reason we worship and praise the Lord is because he's worthy of the best we have. He's our maker and our redeemer. So we ought to praise him every chance we get. We ought to praise him for life, health, and strength. Praise him for his goodness, and praise him for his mercy on you as well as your family and even this nation. Praise him, yes, Lord, every chance you get. Praise him on the mountaintop. Praise him in the valley. I tell you, he's worthy of our praise. Yes, Lord, I praise the Lord when I don't feel like it. I praise him sometime by myself. I praise him sometime driving alone. I just praise the Lord. You ought to lift him up, because the Lord been good to you. He brought us all from a mighty long way. If you think you brought yourself, you're just fooling yourself. It was only by his grace that we are here. And so when the church gathers for worship, you need to understand that we need to gather with one mind. And we need to gather with one purpose. And that is to lift up the name of Jesus. And that is to hear the word and apply it to our lives. Ain't God all right?
Yes,
Lord. At this time, we extend the invitation. Perhaps there's one who would like to come. You may come, candidate for baptism, Christian experience. Now, if you're not saved, if you came for the right reason, you won't leave the same way. If you're backslidden and you came for the right reason, you won't leave the same way. If you're out of fellowship, you don't have a church home, you won't leave the same way you came. And when I say that, not just to join this church, but maybe you need to go back to your church. We'll get with that pastor. Let that pastor know that brother, sister, so-and-so, they've come back and rededicated their lives to the Lord, but they want to come back home. Can't you hear Jesus? Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and in me you'll find rest for your soul. Oh, I'd last appeal. Perhaps you just need prayer and you need somebody to pray with you. The invitation is to you. God is able to take the worst of us and make us into whatever he wants us to be. Somebody may want to say, how you know? I'm talking about myself. I can't talk about you. But I know where he brought me from. Yes, Lord. And you know where he brought you from. He can take Lord. It is ours to give and yours to receive. We pray that nobody leave the same with us.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.